they do in Texas, please. Fold 'em, let 'em hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it.
Love game, intuition, play the cards with spades to start.
And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on his heart.
What is up, everybody, in Somerville and Medford? You are listening to 91.5 WMFO.org Freeform Radio. This is James Gregoire. You're listening to Anything Is Possible, the second episode of the year, season two.
Third episode.
Of course, we care about this show so much that we keep track of the episodes.
Of which this is three.
Right. Anyways, I'd like to introduce you to our fine guests today, including Mr. Matt Few McDermott.
Hey, what's up, guys? Glad to be back.
Glad you're in the house. Anyways, we got Jackson Mim. What's up?
What's up, bro? Always happy to be here, James.
It's good to see Jackson on a night like tonight. Sometimes you don't see him in the studio, but tonight, he's in the studio.
We in the studio.
Indeed, he is.
We're trying to make good, positive vibes.
Notable news about Jackson. He just bought a jewel for me. Very happy. He also just got himself a...
Those are shoes.
Right.
Yeah.
He also just got himself a... it's a device that helps herbs. Like, you can cook with herbs because he's into cooking. So, like, yeah. There you go.
Well, it's actually... Jackson bought that one for me. I'm more the chef. I put it... I use it with my chili. I use it with some chicken tonight.
Anyway,
I love Lance's Super Bowl chili. It's probably the best chili out there.
That stuff is the bomb.
We got into, like,
also
at our house at Winthrop, assorting baking pursuits. And last night we had...
Hiroto made apple pie from those apples that they got at the orchard.
Right. Which is actually, like, really hard to do. So, props. We also had a fine dish of chicken fried rice last night from Brian Rini. Delicious, of course. I had a good amount, and yeah, there you go.
Hey, yo, and I'm Lance HK, by the way. It's a pleasure to be back.
If you guys didn't know Lance HK, his last name is literally HK. It was spelled out phonetically HAY. K-A-Y.
Yeah.
It stands for nothing.
Yeah, no, it stands for absolutely nothing. Pretty representative of myself as a whole.
He's a mystery man. Elusive. You're one of the top 5 elusivest people I know.
Elusivist?
Top 10 elusive. Top 10 anime deaths. Top 10 anime betrayals.
Top 10 anime eludes.
Of course, and our third and final guest... Lance HK, I know he just introduced himself, but here is me introducing him. Welcome to the show, Lance.
Hey, thank you. It's nice to be welcomed.
I'm glad you're on. Next up in world news. More people are being born every day. Technology is increasing, and... diseases are being cured, and economic development is occurring. There you go.
Economic development is occurring, and I just wanted to give this general PSA and say that Massachusetts drivers should be redeemed. They're not that bad. I think they have bad infrastructure in the state. This is the first time this weekend was driving on the roads in Massachusetts, and it is so different. I mean, I'm from a warm place. I'm from Florida. And, like, the roads are wide. There's parking everywhere. It's like Massachusetts is hectic to drive on the road. Like, I've never felt like something bad was about to happen as much as I felt like driving today, because it's just so much more cramped. And the drivers are pretty aggressive. Very aggressive.
If you contrast the drivers between states, it is like going into a new... Or between regions... It's like going into a new world, like a new world of rules and customs and stuff like that on the road. Like, one of the selling points to Middlebury College when I toured there was like, if you go in a road, you will never be hit because the drivers will always stop for you, because the drivers in Middlebury, Vermont are just like notoriously courteous. I guess not notoriously.
Try that,
but
like,
absurdly.
Summerville, you are a dead man.
You're a dead man.
And then you go into, yeah. Boston, Massachusetts.
You guys gone.
Yeah, Somerville, Massachusetts.
North End, York, you gotta do some heads up jaywalking.
Lance, you were in Peru this summer. Is that because when I went to Latin America, do they have the motorcycle lane, the special between lanes that doesn't just, exist?
It's not even a crazy custom. It's not even just that. It's so funny because it happens every time. For those who don't know, my mother is from Peru, so I visit probably like once a year. And the craziest, like, it's always a nice welcome back is on the way out of the airport. It's a 4-lane highway, and there's just no set. Like, if you had to count out the, like, quote unquote lanes, it'd be at least 6, you know. Oh my God. Motorcycles weaving in and out, like, wherever there's space for them to maneuver. And
right.
And at stoplights, though, is there that, like, do motorcycles just go in between the cars?
When they're all waiting at stoplights?
That always
struck
me as hilarious and bizarre.
And there's a lot of motorcycles,
too.
There are a lot of motorcycles. It's not like one sneaks up to the front. It's like around 10 pile up.
It's so funny.
And caused quite a space issue, to be honest.
I heard in India, when there's, this is from a friend from high school, so I don't know if it's true, but in India, if it's a 2-lane or 1-lane each way on a road, and you come to a railroad crossing, a train will come across and each side can't see the other, but each side knows that one guy is going to get to skip the line if no one on the other side skips the line. And so the train goes by, and when the train leaves, there's multiple cars in both lanes facing each other, and they just can't go in. It's gridlock for hours. Like, anytime there's a train crossing, it's just, the road is unusable.
At
least in this one area.
They don't have streetlights and it works probably better because there's more cars on the road, but people just do what they have to do without getting hit. It's like absurd.
It's very easy to get nervous in these like taxis in Latin America and these types of countries because like everything is so hectic and it seems like you are about to get hit. But somehow these drivers, however bad they are on the road, they really know the boundaries of their cars.
And they pull the tightest
maneuvers.
Right. I've seen
and
that.
And absolutely never get hit. Never.
That's really interesting.
Never.
This is all anecdotal, but yeah.
I feel like I really don't have the best grasp of where the back of my car is.
Zero chance.
The thing is so big and like square.
I will hit whatever tree is in the area.
I drive a Honda Element 2008, in case you guys are wondering.
They won't take him out his element.
They won't take him out his element.
I'm in my element when I'm in that car. That's all I'm going to say.
Anyways, it's a pleasure to have all these dudes on the show tonight. We got a song coming up for y'all.
In My Element by DJ Lucas.
It's called In My Element by DJ Lucas. Hope you enjoy. But yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day to be alive.
Great day to
be great. Just be thankful of all the cool stuff that's going on in the world. It's pretty cool. Anyway. This is Element. This is In My Element by DJ Lucas. Thanks for listening.
New Kung Fu Kenny. Ain't nobody praying for me. Y'all know what happens on Earth stays on Earth. Here we go.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
I'm willing to die for this shit. I done cried for this shit. Might take a lie for this shit. Put the Bible down and go out for a knife for this shit. D.O.T. my enemy won't catch a vibe for this shit. Ayy, I've been stumped out in front of my mama. My daddy commissary made it to commas. Bitch, all my grandma's dead. So ain't nobody praying for me. I'm on your head. Ayy, 30 millions later, no defense watching. Auntie on my telegram, like, be cautious. I be hanging out at Tams, I be on Stockton. I don't do it for the gram, I do it for Compton. I'm willing to die for this shit, nigga. I'd take your fucking life for this shit, nigga. We ain't going back to broke, family selling dope. That's why you nanny ass rap niggas better know. If I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy. If I gotta go hard on a bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out,
route, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element. Nah, take me out.
I'm
my
allergic
element.
To a bitch, nigga, ayy. An imaginary rich nigga, ayy. Seven figures, hoe, that's slimmer than my bitch figure, ayy. Going digital and physical and all y'all, ayy. Bunch of criminals and money in my phone calls, ayy. We okay, we let the A1 fly. Relocate, jump on the same G5. Check it for me heavy, cause I go, yeah, I go, yeah. They never been ready, yeah, I know, yeah, I know, yeah. 100K spread across the floor, yeah. None of y'all fucking with the flow, yeah. Years in the making, they don't y'all mistake it. I got them by a landslide, we talk about races. You know there's never be a tie, just look at they laces. You know careers take off, just gotta be patient. Mr. 1 through 5, that's the only logic. Fake my death, go to Cuba, that's the only option. If I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy. If I gotta go hard on a bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element. Nah, take me out my element. Damn if I do, if I don't, yeah. Goddamn it's all if you won't, yeah. Damn, 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 it's a goddamn shame. You ain't frontline, get out the goddamn way. Niggas thought they wouldn't go see me, huh? Niggas thought that K-Dot real life is the same life they see on TV, huh? Niggas wanna flex on me and be in LA for free, huh? Next time they hit the 10 freeway, we need receipt, huh?
Cause most of y'all ain't real.
Most of y'all go squeal. Most of y'all just envy, but jealousy get you killed. Most of y'all throw rocks and try to hide your hand. Just say his name and I promise that you'll see Candyman. Because it's all in your eyes. Most of y'all tell lies. Most of y'all don't fade. Most of y'all been advised. Last OP I tried to lift a black artist. But it's the difference between black artists and whack artists.
I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make him look sexy.
It's the one and only the world's greatest, the king.
I gotta go hard on the bitch, I'ma make him look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element. Nah, take me out my element.
Juggin', bippin', juggin', sensor, baby. I fuck Haitian bitches and I fuck them Chinese ladies.
I do.
I don't fuck your OG, cause that bitch do got rabies. I hope I fuck the bitch, but I ain't gon' have a baby.
And we are back on 91.5 WMFO. I hope you enjoyed DJ Lucas, this new rapper nobody's heard of before.
Matt McDermott has been on him for years.
Nobody's yeah. except you guys.
Yeah.
True.
Matt, speak to DJ Lucas. Speak to the fans.
Speak to the fans. DJ Lucas is the hottest rapper in all of Western Mass. And if he's not the greatest rapper in all of Mass, he's definitely on the brink.
Of course.
Cousin Stiz.
And also, we just kidding, that was Kendrick Lamar. Anyways, the next segment. The next segment.
In case you didn't know.
Of the show.
Idiots.
We've been talking a lot about video games. Of course, we're big fans. We've been talking about playability. You know what I mean?
Playability.
It's a crucial function for games that are going to have crazy involvement and passionate user bases. You know what I mean? Like some games, like people just play casually for a little bit and then they're done with it. And others, they're like playing 4 hours a day consistently for years. Like this is a real, very real thing. One of those games being League of Legends, of course.
League of Legends.
Lance is a level
silver?
Category.
Are we gold yet? Nah, we gold, dog. We gold. It's almost end of the season. We gold.
Gold level.
Impressive. What percentile players does that put you in?
Let's just say I'm not gold yet. I'm almost gold. But no, I found this guy today who I cannot lose with. Me and this random got paired up and we just started playing games together and I cannot lose with this kid. So I'm gonna be gold with this kid on my back. But more importantly, playability. The essentially the attention span of the general public towards a game. So, like, how long will the game stay relevant, and how much time can you, like, invest into this game? So, like, League of Legends, the games are about 30, 45 minutes. So, innately, you're going to start spending more time on that. And it doesn't feel like that much because the game is so in-depth and there's so much to it that it kind of requires that amount of time. But then there are, like, other games like Rocket League. And quick shout-out to the boy Brandon Lee over in Michigan. He's my brother's roommate. And he's top, like, 200 in North America for this other game, Rocket League.
Rocket League, my brother was telling me he just got a Steam account. He offered me to, like, use it, his Rocket League login or whatever. So this game, could you explain to the fans what this game is?
So Rocket League is very simple. It's essentially, like, 3v3 soccer. It's just soccer. There's a ball, bounces around, but you're in a car. You're in, like, a toy-looking car that jumps and has boosts and stuff, and the ball's much bigger than you, and you and your team work together to score goals. And it's evolved into quite a competitive scene as well. A couple of these games that have a good amount of playability develop kind of into, like, competitive esport scenes.
Definitely.
That produce their own money, and it's an industry mirroring that of, like, professional sports at this point.
Like, imagine that idea coming up, like, I want to make a video game that is just soccer with cars with all this other stuff in it. Do you want to make it? And they're like, yeah. And they make it, and it's just wildly successful. Like, everybody loves that. It's incredible.
It's incredible. And the thing with these games that end up having high playability and have high amounts of people spending a lot of time on it, it's because they've cultivated this, like, competitive atmosphere, and people invest amounts of time into this game to practice and to get good, achieve that rank, and there's a lot of money. I mean, like, in League of Legends, you get to challengers, like, top 0.2%. You can stream, and people make millions yearly just playing this video game and streaming it, because other people will watch them, and because they also want to get better at this game and invest more time into this game, that they will watch other people doing it so as to learn from them.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
It's really interesting that they can, for nothing, inspire people to put so much time into it. Like this, this kid Brandon, who's like, he's, I think it's like 0.2%, yeah. In Rocket League, he plays with the pros, you know, and he plays at a high level that if he were to stream, people would gain knowledge and gain strategy and become better at the game simply by watching him.
Uh-huh.
And then it helps also when the streamer has a personable has, like, a personality on the stream too. It makes him, like, more of a show.
Yeah, that's what I think you're consuming a lot of the times, is also the personality. Because a lot of people can play the game and be good at the game, but it's like that PewDiePie guy for so long. People liked him so much. Because he has a personality. Whether you like him or not, I think he sucks. But
I think he sucks.
Dude,
who is that other guy, though?
I'm a cutie pie. That's a
League of Legends streamer. and as someone who doesn't watch League of Legends or play it or have any interest remotely playing it, that guy was entertaining.
That guy's hilarious.
He's very funny. I would watch those videos if I didn't play the game. I did.
And he's just so ugly.
Yeah.
His name is literally I'm a cutie pie. He's from Florida too. Shout out Florida.
The democratization of, like, of those sort of games, like, compared to field sports, is crazy, because, like, to be an NBA player, you need a certain amount of genetic gifts, like, or else there is an absurdly low chance you're going to,
like,
get
you
into
can't
NBA.
Relate to a pro player.
Right, right.
You could probably relate to a pro video gamer much
you need
easier.
You, like, of course, need, like, incredible genetic hand-eye coordination and stuff like that, but you know what I mean? You there's a better chance if you work hard you're going to be able to reach the pro level. You know what I mean? So that's what is inspiring to me about esports, and that's why I think, like, there's a lot of relatability to them, especially games like Super Smash Bros. Melee, which is, like, completely a party game, at least designed, but has all of this stuff behind it You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These techniques you can learn to like play at a absurdly high level if you just want to put in the time.
Yeah.
Well, really cool stuff.
There's like a disconnect in some games, especially the sports games. Like in FIFA, I played a lot of FIFA. There's a difference between someone who is like knows how to, like understands the game of soccer and someone who knows how to play the game well. Because there's a disconnect between the game and the actual sport.
100%, yeah.
And that's like, I bet that's true in pretty much every sports game.
Right, like Mortal Kombat, you're not going to necessarily be a Conor McGregor type fighter. You're just going to be...
You could be, though.
I mean, like, there's a chance. There is a chance that, like, the best Mortal Kombat players are really the best MMA... Like, why are... Like, and that, in that point, it'd be like, why do we even, like... have the MMA fighters that we have, like,
yeah,
they all deserve to be Mortal Kombat players, you know,
like,
what I mean?
In FIFA you can, or sorry, in real life soccer you can totally play defensive and just play to win a game, but in video games they're designed to be scored on, so
right,
it's
right.
Like you've completely taken that aspect out of a game for entertainment, which is good, you know?
Yeah,
there's definitely a line or a balance between for these video games, a balance between competitiveness and just pure entertainment value.
Yeah, it's that, like GTA.
Yeah.
It's like if they made GTA any more realistic than it was already, then it would not be fun. Like what if it actually took like 20 minutes to hotwire a car? Like that would not be fun at all. You know?
That'd be
what if you can't jump
imagine GTA with traffic. I always want.
That would
wonder,
suck.
Dude, I think it'd be kind of cool to have like more
like
cars.
Sometimes. Like maybe be like a rush hour.
Because, like, you're never in a situation where there's, like, bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
Like, that would make stuff interesting.
I would hate playing GTA if it was bumper to bumper cars at any point, just to add my input, but, yeah, I got...
I want to add my input to streamers. I feel like...
Input to streamers.
People have been sleeping on the Yogg's cast. I feel like they're, like, the ASAP mob of YouTube.
All right, yo, for some references that... will be more well received. I got a PSA for y'all. A PSA. Everyone can appreciate a PSA. Passenger texting while driving prevention PSA. This message is for all y'all sitting in the passenger seat, and apologize if things get a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is worth more than your life? That is a disgusting idea. There you go. That's my that was my interjection there. My opinion.
Wait, hold on. I need to bring the PSA. We're good with the PSA. Sorry.
I mean, you can bring it up if you think it fits in well in the context of the PSA.
No, it doesn't involve the PSA at all. Complete non sequitur. Back to the playability thing.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, we got to keep going with that with this segment. This is like an interjection to the segment. Just to throw that out there. But yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for putting this segmenting the segment.
No, it's a PTI. It's PTI. It's PTI from ESPN.
PTI. This is a PTI from ESPN. Why not just ask them to stop texting? It may be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live. A message brought to you by the Ad Council, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Learn more at stoptextsstoprex.org.
So much more knowledge. Thank you for that, James.
Did you know that you should be a responsible...
I learned that today.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, playability. I've been talking about this a lot. I've been thinking about this a lot.
So I just thought of this as an interesting counterpoint to what we were talking about before, revolving around the competitive side of things with playability of games. I want to throw back... to RuneScape. An extremely immersive MMO, multiplayer online, massive multiplayer online, that just can easily drain hours and hours and hours out of your daily life.
Such an OG too. Oh my god.
Incredible.
In elementary school, all the kids on that stuff. Like no other game.
But
like no other game.
Sure. But like
McDermott was on that.
The kids who still play it now. Like, two of my friends, a lot of my friends, but these two guys were really into it, Lucas and Addison. They would Like, I walked in Lucas's room one day and he was doing some thieving quest or something, and I see him sitting at the computer just tapping the same button over and over and over again. And he was doing it for a minute before I asked, like, dude, like, how many times you gotta do that? That's looks terrible. Looks not
You've
fun.
You've clicked that button too many times and, for me to be comfortable not saying anything.
Yeah. He had like a little calculator on the side of the screen that was counting down how many more he had to do. It was like 15,000 or something.
And
he
my God.
And he had to, and it had the time estimate too. It was like 8 or so hours.
What was he doing that for?
Dude, because he wanted to do this like thieving level up in RuneScape, bro. He was invested enough in the game that he was gonna do that.
That's
and so
absurd.
Like, so he goes like half screen the RuneScape, half screen like cartoons or some shit.
Oh
like,
my
like,
god, TV shows. 8 hours of he's just working out his fingers to just.
That's exactly what parents think.
I think he was a bass player or something. He was just trying to get that running bass going.
Right. Get that technique up.
But like games like that are like can just drain 4 or 5 people play it 4 or 5 hours daily easily. And it has zero competitive aspect to it. It's competitive with all the other players, I guess, but there's no like league of it or anything, you know what I mean?
A little bit like Farmville, which was a Facebook trend.
Clash of Clans.
Slightly like it.
That game ruined friendships.
That I never got invested in that game. I was more of a Temple Run guy.
We're getting a call right now. We'd like to ask the caller to
please call back during a time of no talking, because we gotta brief you. It's the law. Don't make me break the law, caller. Caller, don't make me break the law. Anyways, I'm sure you didn't even know that, and I'm just being a huge dick by saying, don't make me break the law. Like, you're asking me to break the law, like you knew that. But you probably didn't, so it's okay. But just do it when there's a song playing or something. But yeah, thank you. Anyways. To move on to the next segment, we gotta talk a little bit about
the rabbit plot problem at Tufts University.
The rabbit problem, because like, there's literally a dead rabbit in the road a lot, and that makes people uncomfortable, of course. Especially prospective students, they don't want to see that, right?
They're gonna think we're an anti-rabbit university, and I want to say right now, if there are any prospective students out there, we are a pro rabbit university.
We appreciate what they have to bring
to
the table.
Them. Those rabbits fight for us each and every day.
I agree. And it's like, we saw rabbits that were accidentally killed by a weed whacker. That made us sad.
Dude, weed whacked rabbits. Like baby rabbits. Apparently, I heard from people who were there at the scene. They said the guy was just weed whacking grass, and the grass was too tall. And then once the grass was shorter and revealed what happened underneath,
there was no going back.
The guy like apparently took a moment. He was a little emotionally distraught, as one would be after murdering like 5 little baby rabbits.
Took a knee, kneeled his head in prayer. Just
yo, like. Of all the vermin in the whole world, though, rabbits like.
I mean, why would you say rabbits are vermin though?
Dude, they definitely are.
How so? Define. I mean, like, it's not vermin like a rat's vermin.
It's not. It's not that. But like,
I feel like it falls under the umbrella because it like there's so many of them and they
eat a lot of. Plants, like if you have gardens, like my grandma doesn't like rabbits. They're heat, you know?
Is it something that is like also too, like killing them is beneficial for the ecosystem because they're invasive species?
A lot of places.
Depends on the area. I mean,
right.
There's the cycles.
Depends on the area.
The cycles of predator prey, like their life cycles are very much dependent on each other. And oftentimes you'll have a population shift that's one is always trailing the other.
Right.
And so it's kind of a complicated relationship, but
Of course, climate here is like there are almost no predators whatsoever. You know what I mean? So it's overrun.
Yeah, they're at a university.
Yeah.
These are smart rabbits.
Yo, there's so many rabbits. It's absurd.
It's like you go outside at night.
And they're dumb.
For people not at Tufts University who have never been here,
mad.
I will say that that is a defining characteristic of Tufts in the summer and spring. Just you're just gonna see a rabbit in every yard you pass.
I'm thinking rabbits.
Right. I'm thinking rabbit university.
Rabbit.
Roll rabbits.
Founded by
Roll Buns.
Rabbit H. Tufts. In the early 1800s.
They also jump out like in front of your bikes and stuff when you're
they pull up on you. Those like, are straight thugs.
Like, whenever I'm going down the hill at night, I've probably almost hit rabbits like 5 times. Like they could be completely fine, but they'll run out right in front of me.
They just don't listen.
Like speeding down the hill. And I've almost like, I don't want to hit a rabbit, dog. I don't want to kill a rabbit. So I like swerve out of the way. And I almost hit things.
Dude, compare that to like iguanas, what we have back home, Lance.
Yeah, iguanas don't move.
And like I don't want to kill a rabbit, but like an iguana, like that's a little, that thing looks like a dinosaur, you know? Like you don't feel that much for the iguana.
Tragic.
Tragic. Very.
Wait, do they grow back there?
They're invasive. But yeah, they.
Do they grow back their legs if you run over them?
Yes, yes.
Right.
Wait, the iguanas grow back legs?
Legs and arms.
Are you serious? Is that
a
thing?
Just the, yeah.
Are you, with the whole bone and everything? I thought that was like salamanders. It's
no,
the big...
No, just the hand.
Oh, just
the hand. Yeah.
It's like my favorite video on YouTube. It's a video of like crocodiles in a zoo. And then one of the alligator,
this is awful.
One of the alligators just like randomly just bites the other's arm, just does like a barrel roll, rips the arm of the other alligator off. They're in a zoo.
Yeah, that's
for no reason.
That is a messed up video. They're just like chilling out, eating. I feel like someone throws him like a raw chicken. They're fighting over the chicken. One tries to get the chicken and he just bites his friend's arm off and swallows it.
It wasn't even that though. It was like the chicken was thrown in, some other alligator got it. Like, this guy just rips off, and the guy doesn't even, the alligator doesn't react. He's like, I got my arm ripped off. I'm just going to be okay with this.
Do alligators get their arms back?
I don't think so, no. I don't think so. No. I don't think
they're not so. Like starfish? They're not in the same family group?
I think they are, though.
Dude, they are some, that is a dinosaur. That thing is like, I don't
dude,
think,
it's an invertebrate, James.
No, we're all in the same family, bro. Hashtag deep.
Yeah, hashtag like, snowflake.
But like...
yeah, but crocodiles, watch out. Watch out. Especially when you're in Medford, Mass. You know what I mean? To the people of Medford, Mass, PSA. Avoid riding your bike through the alligator Everglades.
Yeah.
At night. I mean, maybe you do because you want to see them, but you might get bit
by an alligator. Get your arm ripped
off. It might rip your arm off. And you can't even react. Because, like, it's not going to do anything. You know, if you react to getting your arm bit off. Like, we can extrapolate from that to the whole world, right? Like, if you react to getting your arm bit off by an alligator and you're alone.
You're weak.
I mean, like, yeah, and, like, it just doesn't change anything. You still got your arm ripped off. Like, you can't do anything about that fact. So that's just, that video, what I'm trying to say is that video is a metaphor for life.
Deep, James. Very deep.
Damn.
I'm just on my deep stuff today.
Yeah, very much so. The world doesn't care. Crocodile don't care.
Crocodile don't care. He's gonna be just like, all right, I'm still eating your arm. I know you're distraught.
What you gonna do?
Yo, you seen that video of the those guys that like stick their heads inside of the alligators?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's crocodile. And one of the times, a video of it somewhere on Facebook, one of the times the crocodile just chomps down.
Does it get him?
Just like head is fully in his mouth, and you're, I mean, because like the natural thing to think is that like, yeah, bro, you're going to get your head cut off. But we've kind of seen we only see it when they don't get their head cut off.
Right, right.
But like it happens and it just seems so natural in the video until people start screaming, you know?
And then you're just like, yeah, that's why you don't do it, bro.
That's why you don't do it.
Does his head get ripped off?
No, I think he ended up being fine.
It's like when you die, when you're a bullfighter and you die, it's like, yes.
What'd
like,
you fucking you're
expect? The dangerous animal. Like, oh, that's what happens.
Yes. Or the running of the bulls.
Yeah, like, running of the bulls.
Yo, pizza leg guy.
Yo, my dad did that. My dad did that.
People call that dude. The dude got his leg ripped open by a bull's horn, and it looked like he had a lot of like fatty tissue, and it looked like cheese pizza on the inside of his leg. So people on the internet called this dude who was like literally gored. They called him cheese pizza leg guy.
Internet, and he's like, dang it.
This dude like could have lost his leg.
It's the filter. It's the filter between the internet and like the real world. Like,
totally,
you can say
totally
whatever.
You get.
Dude, the internet's absurd. The things that you find on the internet are just insane.
Facebook, have you seen this thing? It's like a book of faces. I couldn't even believe
it. Dude, imagine it was just socially. What do you think was the cutoff here where it was socially acceptable to not have a Facebook.
The last year?
Yeah, like the last year. Like now, if you don't have a Facebook, that's weird.
It's like, oh, you don't have one. Okay, that's that's something new about you that I didn't know.
Yeah, like that's
you don't have one.
Like 2011. I feel like as soon as the movie came out, The Social Network, it was not chill if you didn't have Facebook.
What do you think of that movie?
You had to have one.
Review of The Social Network 2012, okay, or whatever year it came out.
Yeah, I saw that one time, and I thought it was a good movie. It wasn't, you know, it's like they portray Mark Zuckerberg as a real, you know, douche.
2010.
Like, yeah.
I was about that movie. I think, like,
the
it was interesting. It was interesting.
Lance, we were in Harvard one time last year, and we were walking around in Harvard Square, and out of the bookstore came these two, like, 6'8" guys in rowing jackets, and I was like, that is exactly what I thought I'd see at this school. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I think
that was our first time. I think that was our first time
in,
like,
Harvard.
Walking around Harvard.
And it was so trippy.
Like, wow, that was just exactly the stereotype. Fantastic. I'm so pleased.
Amazing. But it's like, just movies in general, like the idea of making a movie about a true thing that happened a few years ago,
yeah,
with all these people still alive,
yeah,
like everyone has stuff to say about it.
What
if these guys were like totally chill with each other, like they had like sold it on their own, and then just like someone made like a documentary about like beef that was no longer existed,
brought it up again, now they're
like,
debate
what?
It
so made like a $10 million budget movie into just like some beef that you like had resolved years ago, and you're like, and then that ruins your friendship, you know?
Dude, it's like a lot of times
like
in these rap movies,
yeah,
when they just go in and they just like start old beef again. It's like, I saw this Vice documentary of this guy who's interviewing Jeezy, and like him and Gucci Mane have had beef for like the longest time.
Yeah, right.
And like it's a normal interview, and then he says one thing about Gucci, and like Jeezy, like his face like snaps. He's like, interview over now. And just like, just like, why do you go into that? He's not like.
That's so funny.
So funny.
It's so funny that these like, that now that they've like reached kind of like the music's elite, like that these like feuds still exist from like the trap.
Yeah.
Speaking of the trap, so they had Dolphins O-line coach?
I did not. Oh, yes.
Bro, the
I did
one,
hear this.
The one that was like snorting blow with his girlfriend.
Dude, this is not PG content, but yes.
Yeah, it's the news.
Yeah, it is the news.
It is the news.
Also,
yeah, yeah,
wait,
definitely.
Can we also talk about, you know, the mayor of Toronto? Have you heard
that
story?
The crackhead.
Like, could you imagine
That's
being
so
a public
old.
Figure?
And not even like
no, but Dolphins O-line coach is pretty obscure. Like that guy's not that relevant. Could you imagine the mayor of your city is just doing crack regularly? Like, are you on crack? Yes, I am. I am making the laws in your place.
Okay, this is why this is not bad to talk about, because this is like
this
a current event. We shouldn't be censoring what's true about the world.
Definitely.
When these are significant things.
Definitely.
We shouldn't be censoring that what's true. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah.
Dude, I feel like that Dolphins O-line, like that's the most Dolphins thing that could happen to the Dolphins right now. Like, take a team that's like in eternal discord with a bad O-line, have the O-line coach be fired, or either resigned, whatever, cause even more discord, like at the beginning of the season, it's gonna be an issue. Team's gonna get worse. And then to top it all off, like, he resigned because a video was leaked of him doing cocaine. Like, that's just so mediocre Dolphins.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't trust the people you were with when you were doing that now.
That's that's like the Nick Young.
Nick Young and D'Angelo Russell.
Yes. Tell the story. This is absurd.
This caused last year, whenever, this like...
Shout out Swaggy P.
The biggest Lakers
sure
in the National Basketball Association.
He is listening.
Shout out Swaggy P.
Thanks for tuning in, dog.
He was
as a personal favorite.
Nick Young was dating, I don't know if they're still in a relationship, but Iggy Azalea, right? Iggy Azalea, hip hop star.
She makes bad music.
Yeah, right. So, He was talking on camera about how he was like
cheating on her,
involved
right?
with other women. Yeah, yeah. And then it called causes... Because, I mean, like, you're in this position now, like, where everybody knows about it, right? And you're a public figure, and you have to react in a certain way to maintain your public figure status.
And D'Angelo and Russell leaked stuff. It.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's he.
D'Angelo Russell, he was his teammate, right? Leaked this thing. The whole team turned on him, and he ended up being traded when he was... Or should have been, perhaps should have been, one of the centerpieces of their franchise moving forward.
Yeah, but definitely one of the best players of the team at the time.
Interesting. Some would say their best player. Some Lakers fans would say their best player at the time. He was traded last year.
He was traded because he was dumb. And, I mean, like, you don't do that.
Right, you
like,
don't do that.
You just don't do that.
That's he took the video and shit.
That's
and
how that's how you get a team. That's how you get a team to not like you.
Especially
now there's beef.
With such a small team. It's all. Yeah. I feel like it's probably pretty indicative of his... attitude in general towards the team if he does something like that, you know, which could have birthed other problems.
Yeah. Right, 100%. They said there was like some like character issue that he had, and that there was an issue that everyone had with him that was like really bad.
When people say character issue,
it's like, just because they don't like snitches. Nobody likes a snitch.
Yeah.
It's like, that's such a funny way of phrasing, like, if someone, like, you don't want to be like, say exactly what you don't like about someone on to the news, so you just say it's a character issue.
Right, 100%. Yeah.
And they did not want to review that. Blanket term, it'll cover it, you know.
Anyways, D'Angelo, what you doing, man? I hope you have a good season, though. Please have a good season with Jeremy Lin. That backcourt is fun to watch. Everyone tune into NBA preseason. Hope you're into it. But yeah. Anyways. We got 14 minutes left on WMFO 91.5 radio. I got a tune for you. It's a song by Radiohead. Hope you enjoy this song. Thank you for listening. And we are back live on WMFO Radio 91.5.org. That's not even a website, 91.5.org. It's WMFO.org, WMFO 91.5 on the radio. But just to not confuse anybody, in case you were wondering if you wanted to switch the mediums in which you were listening to this radio show. However, we are back live, Anything Is Possible Radio. With a new segment, we're talking about, what are we talking about, guys?
Conspiracy theories.
Yo. All right, here's a conspiracy theory for you. Trump knows exactly what he's doing with all this NFL spew. We haven't heard about Russia in a week.
We have not heard about Russia in like 3 months.
I've been hearing about Jerry Jones dealing with his players, Pence walking out of... That's encompassed a large part of my life, stuff. You know?
That is like...
I haven't heard about Russia tampering in our elections, our signal and beacon of democracy.
Yo, this is a huge outrage now. Like, Mike Pence using U.S. taxpayer funds to go to a football game. Okay, of course, I can see why people are pissed off. Like, yeah, he's using your funds to go to a football game.
And then
that
he
sucks.
Walked out of it also.
Right, right.
He's the president. 100%. His clothes are paid for by your tax money.
Right, 100%. Yeah.
The Iraq war was paid for with your tax money. You don't care about that?
It's everything. Yeah.
If you look at how much of the budget...
$10 billion goes, for a wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you kidding?
It's like...
What is that going to do?
We spend money on way dumber stuff all the time.
Right.
It's a football game. It's like $1,000 max.
I think the total, like with like with costs and everything, was probably like under $100,000 still.
And they spent $100,000 to make like Trump like drive down the street in New York City.
One Patriot missile cost?
Yeah,
right.
Millions.
Exactly. But like the point is, all of this stuff is really expensive, and that it all stinks. It's all a bummer that it's all expensive. You know what I mean? Because it is. Like, every dollar that's spent, it is kind of a bummer.
Governance is expensive.
Right. Government's expensive.
Defense is a little expensive.
Yeah. It's a big bummer.
It's more than half of our budget of Social Security.
Oh, I thought it was even more than that.
No. Social Security is a lot. Social Security accounts for most of our expenses.
No way.
Yeah, that's true. It's huge.
Wow.
Yeah, Social Security. I mean, and the problem with Social Security is it was made at a time where young people were reproducing a lot more than they had ever before.
Baby boomers.
And so they were, baby boomers. And then basically now the system can't sustain itself because we have too many old people and not enough young people buying into the system. That's why, like, there was the individual mandate in Obamacare. It's like you have to be in Social Security or else... Like, the system is definitely not going
right.
to be able to sustain itself.
Here's some interesting in other news. These polls are coming out about U.S. war. I just read a poll that said 62%. This poll says 58% are in support of U.S. action against North Korea if they invade South Korea. A majority is in favor of...
Can they invade South Korea? Is that an option for them?
I mean, if they do, I don't know. Yeah, I guess
so. Are they, like, equipped to even make it past the DMZ?
I feel
it's the most heavily, like, militarized zone. I feel like maybe they whole...
A majority world. Supports military intervention if Russia was to invade one of the Baltic states.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't know.
This is just a poll. I'm just repeating a poll. That's all.
I don't know. Would you support the U.S. taking military action if Russia were to invade a Baltic state, like an old Soviet satellite state?
Like Estonia.
Yeah, something like that. Would you... I mean, I'm not sure I really care that much. I mean,
this is me as a diplomat because I'm taking foreign relations.
He knows you are most equipped to make this have an opinion on this.
Okay.
Of the four of us here.
Okay. I think practically we shouldn't do it, but I think morally we probably should. But like practically we should never start a war with Russia. Like ever.
I mean, not just that though, but do you think...
But like Russia doing that would like pretty much cement its reputation as a like they don't care about international norms. And like sovereignty or anything
like
that.
Should the U.S. take action against them, or should the UN?
take
action. Well, the UN
action.
Won't. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah, it's, but I don't think the role of the U.S. should be to be the world's police. I
agree with that sentiment, but when there is nobody like enforcing the rules, at least since industrialization, there's always been a country that has tried to enforce like international norms.
Bro, I would say if the U.S. keeps it,
I'm not saying there's some inherent hypocrisy there, because the U.S. pick and chooses its wars all the time. It's like you don't hear anything about, like, you know, the U.S. funding the war in Iran and Iraq. You don't hear anything about all the deposed dictators and stuff like that, like in your U.S. history classes. But like,
right.
At the same time, the U.S. has done a lot of good in rebuilding Europe, making sure that the international community is like actually tied together through the U.N.
Tying together through the U.N. But if the U.S. were to continue its role as the world's police, and I agree, like, someone needs to, but I think it needs to be the UN. And the fact that the UN won't is an issue. And if the US keeps doing it instead of the UN, there's no incentive for the UN to shape up and
so
to become what it needs to be.
The specific problem with the UN is that to get any action done in the UN, you need to have the five security defense nations to approve. Yeah. And those five nations are
that
the U.S., Russia,
China,
France,
China.
And I think England.
The U.K.
Yeah, the U.K.
It was the Allies plus, how did China get in there?
Emerging Nation, 1970s.
Okay, all right.
And then Russia, Soviet.
Yeah.
Warsaw Pact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regardless, moral of the story, the difference between the U.S. and the U.N. is only one letter. That's the takeaway from this conversation. Definitely the thing that we should take away. The only thing. No, I'm just kidding. Completely irrelevant.
USSR, anyway. USSR, US.
More like USA, am I right?
US,
like, come
senior.
On.
US senior. It's our old man.
The Beatles had a song called Back in the USSR. Like, there are other songs about the USA. I mean, they might as well be talking about the same thing, is what I'm trying to say. Okay?
Yeah, my grandmother just got back from Russia, actually.
It's pretty good.
Dude, it was pretty cool. It was, I was seeing some pictures yesterday, actually, last night. And
where'd she go?
She went to St. Petersburg. Yeah. Estonia. She was in Estonia, and she hopped over to St. Petersburg.
Estonia's nice.
Yeah, Estonia was nice.
If Russia never made that.
Yeah, it would be a little heat.
Yo,
yeah.
Belarus.
Oh, Belarus.
Belarus. Crazy.
That's a crazy country.
The last authoritarian state.
How so?
Country.
In Europe.
What is it?
Yeah.
It is, so it's ruled by Viktor Lukashenko, and it is like so backwards in terms of political repression. Like, right. you cannot say anything against the government. They still measure economic output in tractors in this country. That's like how, like, old Soviet ways of thinking have you know.
Wow.
Yeah, but there you go.
That's the status quo there, yeah.
That's crazy.
The status quo. Well, there you have it. Another episode of Anything Is Possible on WMFO91.5.org is in the books. Thank you for listening, all 17 of you.